Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
My indication is that the Lightning are going to be one of the teams that are in the mix on the Paterka sweepstakes. So what that looks like, how they pull it off, I don't know what vets would be going back the other way. But if you're Buffalo and you want help now, maybe Tampa's one of those teams that can solve for that need for you.
That is Frank Saravalli on Daily Faceoff. Good morning. It's Jeremy and Joe. Josh Schmidt producing. Owen Parker as well. I almost said Owen Power. That's going to happen. Anyways, Tampa. All right. Let's play the game. We want to trade him to Tampa. That's for Paterka, right? They want Paterka. All right. Look at Tampa's salary. Tampa has got so many expensive players on their roster. Kucherov 9.5, Point 9.5, Gensel 9, Hagel 6.5. I'd love Brandon Hagel. Sorali 6.25. Bjorkstrand 5.4. I mean, this is what's tough. Like, it's got to be a hockey trade. I don't want to pick some prospects. And this is probably what Kevin Adams is dealing with right now is, okay, you want my really talented forward? Well, I want a really talented forward in exchange. So what can we do here? That's where I almost wonder. The trades that make the most sense right now would be you swap Paterka for a defenseman, because that's probably an easier trade to make than finding a team that wants to go forward for forward. But then you're going to want a forward, so you trade Byram for a forward. You go Paterka for a defenseman, and you go Byram for a forward. And then you kind of combine the two together and look at it at the end and see how that looks. So who do I pick from Tampa? Eric Cernak? That's not enough. I don't know. It's tough. Maybe Tampa's not good for this. I'm looking around their roster, and their players are either too good or Hagel. They wouldn't do that, though, right? Would Tampa do Brendan? Bring it full circle. The guy that was once drafted by the Sabres and, you know, they let walk for nothing. Thanks, Jason Botterill. Hagel goes to Chicago, becomes a really good player, and then they're not doing that.
How would Hagel feel about that?
Coming back here? He has no trade protection. That's the only reason I'm even inciting his name in this. Because I can't find another player that really... I can't really find another player that makes sense for this. If Tampa wants him, can I get Hagel for Paterka? And is Paterka in the 9th overall pick too much for him? Can I do that? 90 points last year. He's older, 26. He's better defensively. He's had Selke votes 3 years in a row. You can't get him, right? I'm only even bringing him up because he can't say no. So there's that. This is the life we live with this hockey team. To talk about a guy in a trade, you have to look and see, can they say no to you?
That's a tough spot to be.
It's brutal.
It sucks. I get so frustrated because I get so excited because I love this team so much despite all of its pain. And every time I'm thinking about an idea, I get all excited, and I'm like, it's just not.
Right.
Nothing feels realistic. And that sucks as a fan of the team because you want to think that your team can do something cool and exciting, and I think they can.
Yeah.
But it's just been so many years of this sort of pain where you're almost just ready for nothing to work out. And it's so tough.
What you really need is them to have their Mario Williams moment.
Right.
The Mario Williams moment is the Bills are in the drought and they are a joke. They are not. They're hardly an NFL franchise, right? They can't get coaches. to come there. They have to hire Chan Gailey, who hadn't even been a coordinator the year before. And, oh, what? They signed the number one free agent in free agency. Now, credit to Ralph Wilson. Ralph Wilson was ready to pay him more money than any defensive player ever.
Right.
To get him to come here. And I don't know if the Sabres would do that for a player with Terry Pegula right now. Maybe they would. But that's what I'm waiting for. I'm like, can you just shock us once and bring in... They did kind of do it with Taylor Hall. They shocked me then, but it just, you know, it just didn't work.
It just didn't work. Yeah, it doesn't hold the same weight when it goes so poorly.
Anyways, I got some good answers from people on Twitter of when they checked out or what it would take for them to check out on this team, but we got to call on this first. Let's go to Dave in Buffalo. Josh, if you could pull him up for me. Dave in Buffalo. What's up, Dave?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I think you've raised an interesting point, but to me that I think what Kevin Adams needs to do is not trade for a great performer, not trade for some guy who's, you know, a minor Tage Thompson or whatever. What he needs to trade for is someone who can lead. That is one thing I think that the Sabres are really missing. Brandon Bean has done a good job with the Bills because he's really been able to embody leadership working with McDermott. So everybody eats, you know, is a short form mantra. And that really defined the team and how they performed and helped make Josh the MVP because he put the ball up and he threw it around and did certain things. If the Sabres can really trade for someone who comes to this team and says that the important thing here is accountability, not just accountability to myself, but we need to be accountable to each other. So the thing that will define whether I'm a success here or not is not how I perform, but whether the team performs around me. It's going to be the thing that the Sabres really need. So what I'm looking for is a good storyteller, someone who can really lead this team, and that I think will make the difference.
All right. Thanks, Dave, for the call. That's the one thing, though, that I do kind of feel like they've tried. You know, like, think of the things that they've done that have failed during this playoff drought. And one of them is not what Dave's mentioning here about leadership, is what we were just talking about the big ticket free agent. I mean, they tried that. They signed Taylor Hall. It was only a one-year deal, and it was horrible. Didn't come close to working. Scored two goals. Really, you could point to Okposo a little bit for that, too, because he was the number one free agent after Stamkos signed, and that didn't work. So they've done that, and it hasn't worked. I do feel like they've tried what Dave's talking about. They have brought in veteran leaders, storytellers, guys that can show the young guys the way. The problem has always been that those players weren't good enough to kind of earn that respect, if you will. I'm thinking of Brian Gionta a little bit for this, who was just at the end of his career, and he was still a player. Like, he was worthy of being on an NHL roster, but the leader of your team, I still would like that to see that be a guy that's at the top of their roster, top of their lineup guy. And I don't know. What are they going to do? Do you want them to go bring Jonathan Toews out of retirement? Because he's coming back. You want him to go sign Patrick Kane? You want to fire that conversation back up for the 9,000th time? Because he's about to be a free agent. Just I wouldn't do it just for the sake of doing it. Guy's going to go play 9 minutes on my fourth line. So I'm not saying you're wrong in that they couldn't use some help on that front, but I guess I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I have faith in Rasmus Dahlin in that department. I'd like to see it kind of result in more for the teammates, but Dahlin, I think, talks the talk, and he walks the walk himself. But, you know, what is true leadership? True leadership is not just getting yourself to do the right things. It's getting everybody around you to do the right things, too. And, hey, that might be tough. That might be tough for anybody. Nobody would say that Kyle Okposo wasn't a great leader, but did anybody feel like they were doing the right things around him? There was some immaturity with both of the cores, if you want. The Eichel Reinhardt core before that Okposo was like the leader in the locker room of, and then this most recent one. And I'm talking about, like, you know, habits and on the ice stuff, let alone, you know, revolting against the fans because they booed you when you were probably down 5-0 to the Blue Jackets. Because that happened when he was the leader of the locker room too. So, you know, it's nice to hear, or it's a nice idea, but I don't know how in practice it actually makes a big enough impact that we're talking about the culture changing here. The culture changing is going to have to be the playoffs, and it's going to have to be winning. But what's going to happen first? They're going to get smart, and they're going to make a couple of savvy moves, or they're just going to get lucky and get in and ride that wave. Because one of those two things has to happen here. Now, some of the answers we've had on when you checked out, there's a couple of popular answers from what I'm seeing. Thank you to everybody that's participating, by the way, at Sneaky Joe Sports. You can tweet in your answer to this or call in 803-0550. You prefer that. During the losing streak with Ralph Kruger or during the losing streak last year, makes total sense. Long, lengthy losing streaks. He had an 18-game losing streak. Unbelievable, right? 18-game losing streak 5 years ago, and then a 13-game losing streak last year. Easy spot to check out. Like, I just can't do this anymore. Last year against Montreal, when Terry Pegula flies to Montreal to tell them that he believes the answer's in this room, and then they go out and they get smoked by Montreal. That was a tough 24 hours.
My friend was at that game as a Sabres fan in Montreal. Yeah, he said he left by the 7:30.
Traveled there? Like, he doesn't live there?
Yeah, yeah. He wanted, jeez, he like had it marked. He wanted to go to Montreal, and he also planned it around a Sabres game.
Yep.
And he left by like halfway through the second period.
How bad does it have to be if you travel to a Sabre or to a game for your team, whoever it is, and you don't stay to the end? It's got to be a bad, bad night.
That happened to me in Nashville when I went a couple years ago. It was Bowen Byram's first game. They were down 4-1, and me and my buddies were like, all right,
yep,
let's go.
Couple people have said they checked out after the Eichel trade, that like they're going through a long rebuild here, and I'm not here for it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
That's an answer. When Eichel won the cup is an answer that somebody tweeted in. I wonder what the most popular... A lot of this is Kruger. During Kruger is... You know, that's the one that I kind of empathize with the most, because that was torture to watch him try to coach that hockey team. Torture. When they traded O'Reilly away. I mean, this is the thing. It's so many years of this that everyone's going to have a different moment that it's going to happen. And that's where I really am worried about the idea of Tuck leaving. Because if Alex Tuck doesn't re-sign with them and doesn't believe in this thing, then one, I'm going to want to know why. If it's not just that you've been losing, why don't you think they're going to turn it around? Does it have something to do with Adams being the GM? Does he want the team to get serious? Because my worry isn't just that Tuck would leave. My worry about Tuck leaving is who follows in his wake. What are Tage Thompson? It's mostly about Tage and Dahlin. That's really what it is. I feel like I'm holding my breath every day with this hockey team, just praying you get through the day without seeing something that says, oh, Dahlin and Tage, this could be it. When Dahlin, the Bissonnette story came out last year where Paul Bissonnette said that Dahlin met with the team and said that if we don't get this turnaround now, I'm going to want out. Something along those lines, Bissonnette said. I feel like I'd been holding my breath and I went, all right, here we go. Here we go again. And then you know, luckily that seemed to have been vastly exaggerated. Friedman said that it came from him, whatever. So you got through that. And right now we sit where Dahlin and Tage Thompson sound committed as they can be, and they're under contract for a long time, but I feel like I'm holding my breath. I think this is a big year. I know they all kind of look the same. All these seasons kind of feel the same during the playoff drought. But I think to avoid another one of these, you know, light the whole thing on fire phases, you got to have a season here. You can't be 75 points out of the playoffs by January. I think this has to be a year. I don't even know if they have to make it, but it's not. It's about the fans and it's about the players in that room, because the players in that room are feeling what the fans do. That's why I never criticized Ryan O'Reilly for saying what he did. The bunch of fans that have tweeted back at me that, yeah, I checked out when right around that time. Well, okay, like, you got a guy on the team that was feeling that way. He didn't check out on the ice, but mentally he certainly had gone through it losing that much. I'll empathize with that, because we're going through the same thing. So if Alex Tuch is fed up with it and he's got the power to get out of it, I understand it. But that's where, you know, what do I have to do to convince these guys that, hey, we're close, keep going. This thing doesn't need to get torn apart again. We don't need to do that. We need to add to it. Nobody needs to tear it apart again. So you don't need to go. We're going to add around you. You don't need to go. For that to stay together, do they just have to be close? I think that might be all it takes. Just a confirmation that, hey, we're almost there. Do this a little different. That's because if you're at 72, 75 points, you can't make that argument. You sound silly trying to make that argument. 803-0550 is the phone number. One tweet that just came in is, way back when they let Drury and Briere walk in the same offseason is when they checked out. Anyways, Florida tonight, they're looking to win the Stanley Cup for the second year in a row. When are we allowed to call them a dynasty if they win? Are we allowed to call them? Is there any way we're hypothetical we're allowed to call them a dynasty after this season?
I think I have a hot take on this. I think they are. I think it's so hard.
Are you saying, though, assuming they win? Or you're saying already?
I'm going to go with... It doesn't matter if they win.
Wow.
I think that making three straight Stanley Cup finals, winning one, going up against McDavid, and then going through the teams they went through in Tampa, who were the last dynasty we saw, right?
Yeah.
I would argue that this is a dynasty. This team, the way that they're put together, the reputation that they hold in the league, like the way other teams and markets talk about them, I think has a place to hold here. And the way that they just continue to dominate everybody they play, I think that this team should be considered that. That's how I feel about it.
I do think it is a hot take, just in that I think you can't just win one.
I know.
To be considered a dynasty. Like, I know what you're saying, because, you know, like, what was the name of the Bills 30 for 30? Almost a dynasty?
Right.
I feel like that's kind of how I would feel about Florida a little bit. Versus zero, I get it.
If the Bills had won one of those.
If they had won one and gone to the other three,
right.
I don't think you could have called it a dynasty.
That's tough. I think
I wouldn't have, personally.
I think now, especially in the league that is as watered down as it is due to expansion, and with how many teams there are due to expansion, I think being able to dominate and consistently get to where that team has gotten to
over
these last 3 years is worthy of that label.
So you certainly would call them that then if they win tonight?
100%.
Two out of three, and you went to the other final.
Right.
that's a dynasty.
I would say yes.
Because that is, that's what, you could say it's better, right? The Blackhawks didn't go to 3 in a row, right? They won 3 out of 5.
Right.
I think it is.
I think
that's
correct.
Won all 3 that they went to. I don't think they lost one that they went to. Right, because the tough part is you're not going to get, what did the Oilers do in the 80s? Like right. 4 in a row, 5 in a row.
We're
the
never
Islanders won 4
that.
In a row. Like, yeah. Probably not. I mean, I guess Florida could really test that next year.
Right.
If they were to win.
If Florida goes back, and I think they're due for a step back after this season, I would imagine, just due to, like, they're going to lose one of or both of Ekblad and Bennett, and it's just, you can't be this good for this long, especially being older like they are. Bobrovsky is going to hit a wall at some point. I don't think that they're going to be this good for too much longer than this. I could see him being good again next year, but past that, I don't.
It's a good question. How long will they be this good?
That's the,
because they're about perfect. Really, the goalie's a question too. Bobrovsky's 37.
Yeah, he's to me the first thing you'll see with that roster that'll kind of disappear, and I think that's when they'll kind of miss Levi.
Yep,
from trading him over here.
I mean, they're certainly going all in. They probably got like a 2-3 year window, I think. Yeah. I would expect them to. I would expect them to win another cup. Ooh. I think they will finish
after
this series. I think they'll finish this series, and I think they will win another cup. Ooh. I think they'll get to 3, and then you are absolutely a dynasty by I think everyone's definition. Because I think most people, you at 1, like you, but you said it.
You said it's a hot take.
I think most people would say 3, some would say 2, but that's usually the debate. That's usually the line where we have the debate.
Yeah.
You want to pull it down to 1.
I think the appearances and the fashion in which they got there, I think matters too. I think they've beaten some incredible teams along the way. They beat that Boston team the first year.
Rick just tweeted in, so the Bandits have gone to 5 straight championships. If they didn't three-peat this year, they would not have been called a dynasty. Now they are, though. And you're like, by Owen, but Owen,
see, just,
Owen would have called them a dynasty before they won this year.
100% I would have.
Yeah. Okay.
If you're in the finals for a half decade straight,
that's
a dynasty.
Does it have to go longer than 3 years? Like, do you have to see them? You know, because if you, well, no, three-peat would be called a dynasty, so I guess that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, cause anything you do within 3 years, no, if you win 3 in a row, then that would have been qualified as that. So I guess I want to see them do it one more time. I want to see them make it one more time. How about that?
I'd like that.
If they win 2, but they go to 4 in a row, I'm in. I'll call it a dynasty. I'm going to be on the fence, though, after tonight. It is definitely one of the greatest teams, though, I've ever seen in my life. The one was well built.
I might
play
be
the best,
like sort of combining those two things in my brain a little bit, like best team, like just individual team combined with sort of their legacy because they've been so good. So that might be influencing me a little bit. Obviously, recency bias is a thing, but I just think that the way that they've done things these past 3-4 years, pretty significant.
I think it's over the last 2 or the last 3 years. It's the last 3 postseasons.
Right.
That the Panthers are 26-11 on the road.
Oh.
On the road.
That's nuts.
They're 26-11. They're an all-time team. We'll have the dynasty debate maybe after they win tonight. 803-0550 is the phone number. Who is now saying Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes? Yesterday it was Sam Monson. Today we have another analyst that's willing to step out and say that, Mahomes isn't the best. That when we come back here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.